Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship in the ministry of bbfohio.com and our study from Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. This is a one-part study, and it is titled Ruling and Reigning with King Jesus. This is a topic that Spirit-filled Bible believers will love, while the carnal Laodicean church prefers to talk about their best life.
And keep Brother Andrew. I know he started a big job. I think if it got started for a Methodist church, it's going to be a big job. So pray for him. And allergens are going to be way down the next couple of days. So Mary must be living right. She's got the Lord bringing the allergens down, so the preacher won't be sick. But it's just terrible when I've only done one wedding where I the whole time I was fighting and I was like things will probably go well Saturday. All right, ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ, with King Jesus. I'm just going to give when you give away the ending. Yeah, spoiler alert. It's a good spoiler alert. We're going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. Did you know that?
Amen.
If you don't take the Bible literally, then you just kind of get this picture of heaven where you're sitting, you know, it's like a grown man in a diaper sitting on a cloud playing a harp. You ever seen that? You know? That's what happens when you don't take the Bible literally and you just come up with your own idea about heaven. And that's why Hollywood makes heaven look like, you know, you're going to be sitting on a fluffy cloud and you're going to have wings, you know, fluttering in the wind and playing a harp. I'm sorry, that's more like hell to me. That don't sound like heaven. Amen. All right, are you in your Bible? You want to read verse 4? I broke it into two screens because it's a big, long verse. Let's go ahead and read. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Amen? One of the best verses in the Bible. It's all good, but that's a good one. Amen? Now, we're picking up here where Satan has been cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And that's where it picks up and says, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And that's going to be us. Amen. You're going to see, we're going to show some scripture with scripture. We're going to show we're going to rule and reign. Judgment was given to them. I thought it said, judge not. Isn't that Bible? Judge not, amen? Tracy said it, read on. Anytime someone says, well, judge not, say, keep going. There was no period at the end of that. There's judge not. Matthew 7. If you go back there and you read, we've got a message on it. We call it the judge not heresy. Because it's a heresy. And what we're not to do is judge hypocritical judgment. We're not to make our own convictions up and then start judging everybody about that. But when the Bible says something like gay marriage is wicked, like Sodom is wicked, adultery is wicked, blasphemy is wicked, judge. Amen. It's like judge with righteous judgment. Amen. I think that's verse 24 in Matthew 7. This is a little known and rarely taught fact. Glorified saints will judge.
Amen.
A lot of people say, well, the Bible doesn't really say much about what we're going to do in heaven. It doesn't say as much as some of us would like it to say, but it says more than most Christians are aware of. And so a lot of Christians are saying that and they don't realize they've got it right at their fingertips. They just do a little digging. And that's a fact we're going to see. 1 Corinthians 16:2 says this, do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world?
Amen.
Oh, I love that. I mean, I love that. Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? You wonder why you just don't hear that preached. You've heard it preached here if you listen along what's online or if you've been here long enough.
1 Corinthians 6:2.
Oh, sorry. Thanks for checking that out.
The world doesn't like talking about deep judgment.
Well, that's probably one of the things behind it is that the world doesn't like the idea, and the church is very worldly. Amen. That's right. If people Acts 17:11 says that the whole time I'm teaching, you should be thinking, wait a minute, is that there? Is that there? And test the script. Go to the book and say, well, wait a minute, is that there? And there's time when I know that I'm about to say something that I can't really prove from the Bible clearly, I try to, and you've seen me, I try to let you know about that. But there's sometimes where people come and say, where is that in the Bible? And I have to say, well, it's kind of a stretch, but it's from the whole big picture. This is how I believe it. You know, from time to time you run across that sort of thing. Here's the point. Someone asked me this a day or two ago. How many of you kind of got the idea that after the rapture, immediately the Great Tribulation starts? Have you thought of that? The rapture and then the Great Tribulation. But the Bible doesn't say that it's going to start right after the rapture. The Bible says the rapture happens at any moment, and then at some point after that, the prince of the people that shall come, which is Daniel 9:24-27, in verse 27 it says, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And that's what starts the 7-year tribulation period. But between the rapture and that confirming of the covenant, we really don't know how much time. Could be just days. Could be just weeks. Could be months. Could be years. And see, the Bible doesn't say, and so people ask me, and I'll say, well, I don't think it's going to be real quick, but I don't think it's going to be years. How do you know that? I don't. That's just kind of the feel I get from reading the Scripture.
You know what I'm saying?
Amen. That's right. You hear that? A temporary chaos followed by a temporary peace. And when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction. So the judge not crowd, you know, the judge not crowd are nothing but, you know, I'm going to say something real nice here, don't you? They're nothing but sweetie pies. No, sorry, Charlie. They're nothing but Bible perverts. They take the Bible and they pervert it. That's what they're doing when they say, judge not. And I was telling somebody, you know, I always know when I'm talking to a sodomite, because at some point in the argument, when they see they can't win the argument, they say, well, you're fat. That's how I know it. Amen. I can show you the proof. I got proof. Yeah. Now the next verse says this. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? That to me is just fascinating. How much more things that pertain to this life? Now if the Bible says judge not, that would be a contradiction in the Bible. Because it's telling you, hey man, you're going to judge the world, you're going to judge angels, how much more things that pertain to this life? You are to judge. You just judge biblical, you judge righteous judgment. You do not judge according to the appearance, meaning that you don't just go by... I've used this example before. You see somebody walking out with a bottle of something, and you're like, that looks like booze to me. I'm going to bring that up at church and go to the pastor. I saw Charlie Smith over there. And he had a bottle of something that looked like booze. And you say, well, oh, okay, I'll check with Charlie. You know that I can't really condemn him if he did buy booze if he's not getting drunk. You know, he might be cooking with it. So let me check with him. And then he says, oh, yeah, that was that Welch's grape juice that they sell at the during New Year's, sparkling grape juice. Like, oh, okay, likely story, right? No. And then I'd go to that other person and say, hey, he said it was Welch's sparkling grape juice, and Jill backed him up, so I got to go with it. Amen? You see, you better be careful judging by what you just see. It's not just judging by appearance. And you have to judge the way God intended, and that is to judge intelligently, biblically, because you know what you're doing? You're practicing. You're in training. Because during the millennium, we will rule and reign with Him. Amen. Keep that in mind. What's it say there? And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the Word of God. I believe, as I was explaining this Sunday, you know, you see the signs of the second coming, the tribulation being stage being set. You know the rapture's coming soon. Man, when I was a kid, this thing here about beheading, when I was a kid, you never heard of that. Back in the 80s, the only time we heard about beheadings was in history class.
Maybe in Wonderland.
Well, you're talking, but I'm not real world.
Yeah.
So here you are now. That's in the headlines.
Yeah, that's right.
You barely go a week, it seems, without hearing about someone. What's that mean? That means we're getting close. The stage is set. Because during the tribulation 70th week of Daniel, these people have been beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the Word of God. Now, I want you to think about this before we move on. I'm not saying that this is an error. But I'm saying, you need to understand how these things connect. They're actually killed for not taking the mark. They're actually killed for not worshiping the Antichrist. See? But not everybody who's killed for not taking the mark and not worshiping the Antichrist is saved. The book of Daniel, we studied that. We'll go over it again sometime. The book of Daniel teaches that there are some people who aren't even believers that will resist the Antichrist and die, but they still go to hell. You're not going to go to heaven just because you do the right thing. You've got to believe in the right one.
Yep.
A little reality check. Most tribulation saints will be martyred. You think, oh, I'm just going to live the way I want, and then during the tribulation period, I'm going to be a big, strong Christian and go ahead and I'll let them cut my head off. You won't take this little bit of persecution we're getting here, and you think you're going to stand up during the tribulation? Well, that's what it is going to take if you do. You miss the rapture, you get in the tribulation. Most of you, I'm talking to the people who listen out there, I know most of you are all saved.
Amen.
But if you get left behind, you better be ready to die. Get that head cut off.
Right.
I believe, this is a little Gregology here, I believe this number will be more than the amount of church-age martyrs combined. There have been a lot of people killed, but never to the extent that we're going to see from heaven after the rapture. Now look at this closely. There is no eternal security after the rapture. It says so. Some people don't believe it, but it says so. It says, "And which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands." You can be a believer, but decide under pressure, under persecution, under whatever stress, decide you're just going to go ahead and go along with the program, you'll go to hell.
That's right.
If a believer chooses to sell out for the sake of food, shelter, anything, by taking the mark, they will split hell wide open. Get saved now. You're sealed into the day of redemption. No one in the tribulation is. Get saved now. You have been baptized into the body of Christ. Nobody's baptized in the body of Christ in the tribulation. Get saved now. And you are a part of that body. And you are in His hand, and no man can pluck you from His hand. And all these different things you see about Christians now, not true after this dispensation. And I want to show you a little clip. I'm going to let Greg preach to you from the video canvas for just about 5 minutes, because this is something that we taught, well, it says right there, November 2013, and it's a reminder. It may blow your mind, some of you, if you haven't heard it before. Some of you may have heard what I just said, that if you take the mark, you go to hell. And you're like, well, yeah, we all knew that. Some of the biggest names in Christianity don't know it. They're teaching people that you can take the mark and still go to heaven. The people in heaven never received the mark. So on this note, the idea that someone can receive the mark and then decide to backtrack and get their head caught and go to heaven can't happen. These people never received the mark. So the question is, can I take the mark of the beast and still be saved? And the question then is that what the Bible says? And there's the confusion. A growing number of apostate evangelicals are now contradicting this Bible truth. Here's three of the names you're going to see in a video I'm going to show you. Brandon House, he has a nationally televised radio program. He's interviewing Jimmy DeYoung, who's well known from Radio Bible Class and Day of Discovery, and John MacArthur, who's well known for Grace to You Ministries.
I've got a surprise for you today.
Okay.
Do you remember when you talked about the someone asked about the mark of the beast and whether or not someone could receive the mark of the beast and then become a believer? You remember that?
Uh-huh.
Do you remember the controversy that stirred up?
Yes.
It was quite a bit, wasn't it?
It was.
I got a lot of emails, people saying, I can't believe he would say such a thing.
I'll just tell you, he's talking about a couple of weeks before this interview, Jimmy DeYoung had said on this show that he believed that people can take the mark and still be saved in the tribulation period. Most people were shocked. And he got deluged with emails and everything.
You remember all that?
Yes, sir, I do.
All right. Well, I was walking April the other night, listening to a Q&A from a few years ago, where John MacArthur on a Wednesday night would have the folks in his congregation stand up and go to the microphones and shoot questions at him. Would you like to hear the question he was asked and his answer?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
In regard to the latter half of the tribulation period, when men would be required to have the mark of the beast in order to buy or sell, my question is, once the person takes the mark, is there any possibility of him coming to Christ?
Yes. The tribulation is a seven-year period, right? The rapture of the church, seven-year tribulation, then Christ returns, sets up his kingdom. Now, in that seven-year period, really two things happen. God begins to judge the world with a series of holocausts, and at the same time, he begins to redeem his people Israel. And in the process of this, the Antichrist establishes his rule, and in order to function in the economy of the Antichrist, you have to take the mark of the beast. The mark being the number of a man, Revelation 13, 666. Six is the number of man, right? Seven is the number of perfection, and man always falls short of perfection. 666. Always six is never seven. So the number of man. Now, the question is, if you're living in the tribulation period, and you take this mark, in other words, you identify with the beast's empire, will you still be able to be redeemed? And I think the answer to that is yes. Yes. Otherwise, there would be no salvation of anybody in the end of the tribulation. And you've got to have the salvation of folks in the end of the tribulation. You're going to have the Jews redeemed. You're going to have, according to Revelation chapter 7, an innumerable number of Gentiles redeemed, so many they can't even be counted across the face of the earth. So I don't think the fact that someone takes that is a sentence to it, to permanency, any more than you being a part of this world system once in your life means you have to be a part of the system all your life.
He doesn't understand dispensational salvation.
Yeah.
You see, once you say that you can be saved in the tribulation period the same way we are now, you've just thrown biblical truth out the window, common sense out the window. And that's absolutely right, the thing right there. Once you go off, you start going off the deep end. You think of people you know who reject dispensations and think of how crazy they get. The things they start to teach. I'm just here to tell you, you can either accept what God has given you, or you mess with that book, God will mess with your mind. And I know people who refuse to accept the dispensational framework of the Scripture, and they've gone off the deep end. Every one of these guys that name dates, you know, and say, oh, Jesus is returning, and there's another one now in 2016, and another group who's pointed out a date in 2018. You know why? They do that because they reject dispensations. And they just start to teach anything. The Bible clearly says only those who did not take the mark will be in heaven. Amen? Did you see that? I mean, is that clear? Should be. And back in chapter 20, verse 4, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. If you have, you don't go to heaven. MacArthur and DeYoung completely contradict that truth. This fact is repeatedly made clear to us in the book of Revelation. We've seen it as we study. You remember back in chapter 14. And the smoke, this is verse 11, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. It doesn't say, except for the people who were saved who did that. It's not there. You know what this is? Why is this important? Because it's when you start to compromise on this teaching, I mean, think about it. You start to then make light of the need to reach people with the gospel before the rapture. You think they still got a chance. And you think that they can just be saved the way you're saved now. These truths are to encourage us. And who was it I was talking to this week? They're saying, you know, man, if we had to go through all that, that's not very encouraging. We don't have to go through it. We're raptured out before this. It's an encouragement to us, but it's a warning to the unsaved. It's a warning. But in contrast, John was those of whom John refers to those who which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And look what happens. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Say that with me. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. That's your future. I mean, does that... I'm not going to ask you to say out loud, but that gets me excited. We have a future that is given to us in Scripture. We're told what we're going to be doing. We're not given specifics because it's going to be based on your reward of what position you hold during this 1,000 years. And just how the Bible is kind of laid out the way, in a more perfect sense, the way we have presidents, you know, senators, congressmen and judges on the federal level. You also have on the state level the governor, Congress, Senate, and judges on the state level. And then on the local level, you have mayors and commissioners and all that. And that's how we are going to be assigned during this 1,000-year period. We're going to run the references to that in a later study. But we will rule and reign with Christ. We will not only judge, but we will be ruling and reigning with Jesus. And that's why you see those who make artistic representations of the book of Revelation. That's what this is all about. The throne with a rainbow going all around it. And just like the Hanukkah candle. The menorah. You have the 7 lights in the midst of the candlesticks. It's just an awesome thing to think about. What's coming? And this theme is repeated in Scripture. Let's look at a couple of examples real quick. 1 Timothy 2:12, outside of the book of Revelation. This says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. Isn't that awesome? We shall reign with Him. Back in Revelation 5:9, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And read that with me. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Awesome. The kingdom. But then verse 5 says, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Now, we're not going to try to tackle that tonight because that's a big study. But the first resurrection, this is part of it. And when you talk to people about, especially Bible prophecy, they want everything to be cut and dry and just boom, 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 and it's not like that. And the one thing about the resurrection, the first resurrection happens in phases. And it's the same thing with the second coming. You have the rapture, but then you have, that's in the air, and then you have the return at the end of the tribulation where He returns to the earth, and that's the actual second coming. And I want to urge you, as you read the Scripture and you learn these things, to make sure, what's it say in 2 Timothy 2:15, that you study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And the Bible is written from Genesis to Revelation, where at times it's talking about certain times, certain dispensations, and certain events. And the 70 weeks of Daniel, we talked about how there's 69 weeks that have already elapsed. There's still one more week to come, and that's the 70th week. That'll happen at some point after the rapture. But as you read through the Scripture, rightly dividing, and make note of these things. And also, you know, of course, hopefully you're making note and taking note and jot some of this stuff down while we're studying, so that as you study, you'll be able to connect the dots and connect these things. And one of the reasons I urge you to do that is so that you can teach others. Listen, I'm here to help you become a teacher. Some of you will teach your children. Some of you will teach your own family members, your own siblings. Some of you will teach your coworkers. Hopefully you take advantage of opportunities to preach the gospel to the lost, but you're surrounded by Christians who need to hear this stuff. They need to be taught. And not you can't drag them in here. And you can't get them to turn on the internet, but they're stuck with you. Amen? God has put you in their path. And we're not Calvinistic in thinking that everything is pre-programmed and preordained and all that. But we do believe that God has put you, He's left you here after you were saved for the purpose of being there for somebody. And you will be there for people I can never be there for. And I'll be there for people that you can never be there for. And it's only by us being willing to be there wherever it is there is. It's only by that method that God reaches the whole world. You know, the reason why God's not reaching the whole world right now is because there's a lot of Christians who are derelict in duty. There are people that only they can reach, and they're not reaching out. And there might be a lot of changes. People at least getting saved a lot sooner. If people would do that. So in our next study, we're going to tackle that. We're going to go down the line. The first resurrection. And I had to put that here. That is an actual headstone. That's their name. And bye! I just love that.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.